KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly sunny, 41 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy and windy today, a high around 59. Wind advisories go into effect toward midday today for those counties along and north of Interstate 80. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In local news, the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors is set to meet this evening at the Council's chambers at City Hall. During their 5:15 p.m. session, the board is expected to hear about and possibly act on a proposal from local Girl Scouts Cadet Troop 4116 with regard to proposed signs related to the dangers of secondhand smoke and drug-free zones in the city's parks. Last month, the board agreed to let the troop do a presentation on their project. In his report to the board, Parks and Rec Department Director Roger Herring will provide updates on various projects, grants, and future events. Herring is expected to report that a Transportation Alternatives Program, or TAP grant, has been approved from the Iowa Department of Transportation with regard to the Lake No. 2 Trail at the Schulberg Recreation Area. That project is expected to cost $134,000. The Atlantic City Council in February had agreed to sponsor the grant application with a $26,800 commitment for the project. And thanks to a $10,000 grant from the Cass County Community Foundation toward the building of an off-leash dog park for the Schulberg Rec area near Buck Creek Road, Herring is expected to report he and Assistant Parks Director Seth Stashelm will be getting quotes from fencing companies in the next couple of weeks. Herring will also provide an update on the site plan for the dog park. In other business, the Parks Board will receive updates on an urban forestry grant, the Kitty Corral project at Sunnyside Park, playground equipment for the Little League complex, park furniture, and an ADA-compliant water fountain near the Atlantic tennis courts. Just prior to adjournment, the Atlantic Parks and Rec Board will enter into a closed session requested by Roger Herring. The Griswold School District's Board of Education will hold a regular session at 5:45 this evening in the central office of the middle school high school building. On their agenda tonight are updates on the fully automated timing system, sports lighting, and security system. The board will also receive and review the audit report and act on setting the district's 2015-16 calendar, as well as an evaluation of Superintendent Dana Kunze. Elsewhere in Iowa news, authorities are investigating after two bodies were discovered at an Urbandale apartment complex in what appears to be a murder-suicide. The identities of the bodies were not released on Sunday, but police spokesman Sergeant Gary Lang said that autopsies were scheduled for today. He said the department wasn't able to comment on what type of weapon was used. Police were called to conduct a welfare check at the apartment complex Sunday morning. Officers say they later found the bodies in a detached garage. Additional details were not released. Authorities in Hamilton County have released the name of a man who apparently drowned at Little Wall Lake, south of Jewell. Pat Powers reports.
He is 29-year-old Song Zhang of Nevada. A set of keys and sunglasses were discovered on the dock early Thursday evening and a vehicle parked nearby. Search boats and divers spent Friday morning in the recovery effort. The body of Zhang was found in the lake early Friday afternoon. Authorities consider the drowning to be ruled as accidental with no indication of foul play. I'm Pat Powers.
Closing arguments are expected today in the trial of a former state legislator accused of having sex with his wife in her nursing home bed after being told by the home's staff that she could not consent due to her dementia. 78-year-old Henry Rahans took the stand in his own defense on Friday, and the Des Moines Register posted a video on its website of Rahans' testimony.
I did not have intercourse.
Ever?
No.
Rahans broke down into tears nearly a dozen times during his testimony. He described driving back to Garner every night from Des Moines when the legislature was in session so he could see his wife at night and before he left in the morning.
Just so I could say, I never kiss in the morning.
Rahans and his wife Donna were both widowed and they married in December of 2007. In March of 2014, Donna's daughters moved her into a nursing home and she died last August. Henry Rahans was accused of raping his wife one night last May in the nursing home. During the trial, prosecutors played the tape of an interrogation of Rahans in which he admitted to having sex with his wife in her nursing home bed. They also pointed to physical evidence indicating that Rahans' DNA had been found on the bed linens. Rahans has pled not guilty and he's accused the investigator who interviewed him of yelling and being so aggressive that Rahans said he mentally blacked out during the interrogation. As Iowa continues to look for ways to improve water quality and reduce erosion with some 30 million acres of farmland in the state, one growing challenge is the number of absentee landowners. Clark Porter with the Porter Family Farms in Waterloo says more than half the farmland in Iowa is now farmed by someone other than the owner, and they need to be better connecting with their tenant farmers on conservation practices.
Whether it's for healthy soil and conservation of soil and clean water and various other environmental goals. So I think that's the challenge or the opportunity, really. It's the same thing, is to develop this partnership between the landowner and the farmer.
Clark says more than 16 million acres of Iowa farmland is rented out, and a significant number of those landowners have either never farmed, lived out of state, or rarely visit their land. Clark says while the landowners must be more actively engaged, the tenant farmers also must be vocal in wanting to establish sustainable farming practices such as waterways and cover crops, which when planted can help to reduce nitrate loss by as much as 60%. Although Clark notes that the conversation can be tricky because of any possible associated costs and must be handled with diplomacy.
A tenant farmer may not be in the best position to bring it up because they're already financially at risk when they're renting the land. You know, there's a heavy amount of competition to rent and hold land among tenant farmers and a thin margin on which they're operating. And to bring up anything that might be potentially uncomfortable or whatever with a landowner, it could be a delicate situation.
Porter says for tenant farmers and landowners who want to begin the conversation on lease agreements that support sustainable practices, there are helpful resources available from organizations such as the Drake Law School, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and Practical Farmers of Iowa. And the Emerald Ash Borer, or EAB, is spreading across Iowa, and scam artists are likely to follow. The destructive beetle, which kills ash trees, has been confirmed in 21 Iowa counties. Donald Lewis, an entomologist at Iowa State University, is advising property owners who'd like to try and save their ash trees to only do business with certified arborists who are properly insured.
So a beat-up truck coming down your street offering a cheap treatment may not be your best option. So as you're approached with possibilities, as you want more information, it will pay to shop around. It will pay to contact reputable companies. It will pay to get their references.
There are about 3 million urban ash trees in Iowa and an estimated 52 million ash trees in the state's forests. Ash trees can be protected with insecticide treatments, but the treatments are most effective when the ash tree is still healthy.
If it's half dead, if it's half broken, if it's got dead branches in the top already, if it's got loose bark on the trunk, it's probably not a good candidate for treatment.
The best time to make preventative applications for EAB is during the spring, according to Lewis. More information about the Emerald Ash Borer can be found online through Iowa State University Extension or the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.